And if indeed we all descended from one father, Noah. Not Adam now, because you know the Adamic descendants were all trimmed down to Noah. So let's get down to Noah. If indeed we all descended from Noah, and his, is it three or four boys from Ham, Seth, Japheth, all right? And Seth, Ham, and Japheth, all right? From those three boys, all right? That means that things have changed a lot over time. Yeah, things have changed a lot. Even amongst us, all right? You see people like this, you understand? And there's people like me, and we're all the same. And we're supposed to be descendants. Some people are very fair, some are very dark. What am I trying to say? Things change. What did I say? And genes change. That's what I'm saying. I believe, this is my own conviction, when did the human beings begin to have all kinds of colors? It was when they began to have all kinds of languages. Tower of Babel. When God spoke, they scattered in every direction. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. And that one began to affect the manifestation in their skin. Now, I don't want to talk genetics now. One, most scientists and doctors, everybody, are very confused as to what is going on. They talk as if they know. They don't know. All right? It's just that when you don't know, but you know more than those who don't know at all, you will appear like you know a lot. Mm-hmm. I've been in this business for some years, all right? And I have seen things change. Every 5 years, they will tell you one thing. Another thing, they wake up, tell you another thing. They say, no, the one we said the other time is wrong. We found the new one that's correct. And as I'm trying to adapt your life to that one, they say, hey, wait. We're about to change it again. So I found out, look, they don't know what they're saying, all right? And no, they don't know what they're saying. One thing I know from the word of God is this, things change. Are you getting my point? And we found out, listen to this, that when God wanted to bless Jacob, follow what I'm saying, when God wanted to bless Jacob, they made deals. He and Laban, if they are stippled or they are spotted, they are mine. If they are plain, they are yours. The man will take when plain animals are mating. According to Gregor Mendel, this should not happen. Yet the man will just make stripes on wood and put in front of them, and the animals will beget. The Bible said these things were recorded for our learning. They are what? Recorded for our learning. You know what he was saying? I don't care who your father is, I will tell you what you are going to become. That's what he was saying. So I told my brother, I said, oh boy, don't talk like that. He said, their father said, no. Even if both of them, they are bald headed. If you desire that this boy's head of hair be kept like this, and from now, begin to tell it. I don't know whether I get what I'm saying. Look, I told you once, I was reading a book. It was written by Novel Hayes. And there's a way men talk, all right? And it strikes you. Novel Hayes said once, he had a daughter. I think an only child. Once, Kenneth Hagin was his friend, all right? Kenneth Hagin came to their house. And she noticed that the girl, that Novel Hayes' daughter, had warts on her hands. All right? And they were quite ugly and unsightly. You understand? Viral warts. Now, this is what I took away from that thing. Kenegin looked at the girl and said, I could curse that thing. I could curse them and they would die. He just said it in passing. He just saw the thing and said, I can curse these things and they would die. But he didn't. All right? Now, we're not talking about why he didn't. One of the reasons is that he's not the girl's father, and you know, there's a matter of authority and all of that. But Novel Hayes said the Lord now began to deal with him that, in fact, he never saw them. I don't know where I get my point. He never saw those things on his daughter's hands. So the Lord began to deal with him that you have been very negligent. You have not been doing your duties as a father. Now, I can't remember the details now, but I think he began to curse those things and they withered. That's why, listen, don't just hand your children over to house help. House help, go bath your picking 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. Collect your child. Bathe that child yourself. Why? So that at least you will see when one cocoa is developing in a place where cocoa not supposed to be. And as a child of God, you begin to speak to the cocoa. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, that's a swelling, a knot. I'm telling you, it's important. Here, I'm supposed to talk about God's prophet, but I've not been able to settle on it. Let me just continue on this one. You know, All my children. All right? Most of us here know them. They will all do well in life. You know how I know? Because that is my decision. I have 4 children, all right? And I'm so happy for the 4 children I have because if they were not like that, I would have had wrong impressions of parenting and all of that. All my 4 children are as different. In fact, one is from the north, the other is from the south, one is from the west. Yes, and the last one is from the east. They are so different. Very different. You put Victory and Omena on bridal train. Victory will be looking for his mother, as old as he is. Omena will forget everybody. He will forget father, mother, brother, and sister, and disciple of that bridal train for the day. And she's enjoying it. You understand what I'm saying? They are very, very different. Some of them, of course, the 2 older boys, they walked. Both of them walked before they were 9 months of age. Victory was just a few days after 8 months when he got. I can't remember him crawling. He's wondering why I was crawling when he can run over the place. He got up. Not only did he walk, he began to run. I'm serious. Fearless. Look, if you put him on this, he will jump. He won't know that people who jump, I like it to get injured. Very, very different from his brother. Now, let me not continue talking about difference in my children. What I want to bring out is this. I have told everybody that is them, their mother, the angels, the spirits, God, devil, everybody that cares to hear. No matter how different you are, one area where you are all united and you are one is success and victory in life. Listen, if you bring my kid's report card and he fails everything, I won't be happy. That's why I'll be happy. But ask those who have lived with me. Ask my wife. There are things I don't say. You won't hear me say, "What is wrong with you, self? You will never do well. You this child. God, why you give me this kind of picking?" Let me tell you why God gave you that kind of picking. Because to him, it does not matter. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. The earth was without form and it was void. Darkness was upon the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God hovered and said, this child, why are you behaving like this? He hovered. You will not become what people think you will become because of this. He hovered. He looked at the fathers, the ancestors, and said, leave. I don't like where that is leading. Let me now see. What do I want to be? You will be a president. Either the president of a nation, of a company worth, or of a company worth $100 billion of today's dollars, or a president of a university, or a president of a ministry, or whatever it is. And then he spoke when his heart was full of the thing he had contemplated. They came to Jesus. They said, why was this one born blind? Who sinned? Was it him or his parents? And he said, what does it matter? It doesn't matter. As long as I walk the walk of him that sent me while it is day. He said, it does not matter. Why are we giving excuses for the reason why he's like this? Let us tell him what he's supposed to become. That's it. So, I will tell my children, you, is that good boy behavior? You're a good boy, and I beat you. I'm spanking you, and I'm reminding you, of because before you spoke, I told you what you will be. I told you what you will be. If you are not attentive, I will speak attention into your life. Like I said last time, I will prophesy again. There's an again side of prophecy. You don't prophesy once and say it's not working. Every time you utter, you are pushing things in that direction. And Elisha said to the king of Israel, he said, you should have struck 5 or 6 times. Why did you prophesy once, twice, a third time, and you stopped? He said, you should have continued to strike until you have consumed Aram. Do you understand my point? When it comes to things outside, our nation, your environment, we prophesy. When it comes to our personal lives, we prophesy. He said concerning Adam, he said, whatever he called any living being, that was its name. I tell young men, stop saying, these girls, they can't be trusted. You will get a Jezebel. Listen, she'll be a young virgin from the village, not exposed. But you don't know that inside the spirit, you know, there's what they call sleeper cell in Al-Qaeda. There's a sleeper demon inside her heart. Waiting to, when you don't marry and finish, you go manifest. Why? Because you kept prophesying. Women cannot be trusted. These women, they can't. It is to you according to your faith. The word became flesh and dwelt in your house. That's the way it works. If you've read my book, if you've heard my story, I said, I used to tell people, I said, listen, put me in the midst of 1,000 Jezebels, I won't marry one. Why? There's a grace of God that's working with me. Period. And I said, how do you plan to do it? There was no plan. There was no plan. I met my wife by mistake, you understand, by mistake. Because my pastor didn't come on time, they said I should go and preach. When I finished preaching, she came and said, please, I want to ask you a question. And an angel said, arise, kill and eat. There was no plan. You read my the one chapter in that book on arranged marriages. It was arranged marriages, old-fashioned. Go and read my book. I'm not teaching it now. Should I say yes? There's nothing old-fashioned about it. There are some principles around it. One of them is that, look, what just matters is that a prudent wife is of the Lord. There's no arrangement. There's no technique. You understand what I'm saying? But what prepares you ahead of time is the kind of things you are saying as a young man. That's what I'm trying to explain. The duty of God's prophets. Let me just say this, all right, so that I can use it to close. What I wanted to say about who are the people that are God's prophets. Don't forget it. Nations don't prosper because everybody is nice. They prosper only because God's prophets are doing their duties. Things don't change because everybody agreed they should change. They change only because the prophets of God began to prophesy. Are you getting my point? And let me say this again. It's so important that you will realize this. Please, let me say it again. I said it before, but I must say it again. The Bible said, we read last time, surely the Lord God does nothing. How many things? How many things does he do? How many things? Nothing. Except he reveals his counsel, his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets. Are you getting what I'm saying? Why? Let me summarize it. The effect of that is that if the prophets don't prophesy, the Lord does nothing. Oh, very important you train yourself. You know, when it comes to children, by God's grace, all right, I give him the glory. God has so trained me that I must have, I'm sure every day, on the average, I tell each one of my children, you're a good boy or you're a good girl, and you are beautiful or you are handsome, at least on a bad day, 3 times, each one of them separately. Okay, let's just say, average, more than 3 times. It has become reflex. If I discipline you, I end it with, you are a good boy, you are handsome. That is after you've cried, you have repented in sackcloth and ashes. You're a fool. I can't remember it come from my mouth. No. I can't remember it. One day I told my son, Akinlu, are you deaf? Do you know I called him back and apologized? I was angry that day. And I heard myself say, are you deaf? Now, no, that's a question. It's a question. I called him and apologized that I'm very sorry. And before I spoke to him, I was speaking to myself. He is not deaf in the name of Jesus. I rebuke the spirit of deafness. Deafness, you're out of here. I wasn't talking to you. Go away from my house. I wasn't calling you. I was angry. I have repented of anger. Anger. I remember that day. Only once. I was telling him something was there, and I just got angry. And I had to tell him, no, you are not deaf. You know, he didn't even, you know, he wasn't, nobody saying vex, you understand? Nobody saying touch ammo. But he touched me. And I know I won't let any evil spirit use any excuse. I told you, words are what? They are weapons. When he said the sword of the spirit, we often interpret like that may be correct. I'm not saying it's not correct, but interpret it as the sword of the Holy Spirit, the word of God. But I don't think that's what he said. He said the sword of the spiritual realm. I don't know whether I get my point. That is the sword that they use in the realm of the spirit, their words. When they want to fight, they draw words. Who will win is the amount of words, the amount of ammunition you have on your side. So we don't just throw words around recklessly. Especially, let me charge us again as Christians. Remember I said, surely the Lord God does nothing except he reveals his counsels to his servants, the prophets. And I said, what that implies is that if prophets don't prophesy, the Lord does nothing. That is, surely the Lord God solves no problem in Nigeria except his servants prophesy. Surely Boko Haram does not come to an end except the servants of God prophesy. Surely kidnapping does not stop except the servants of God prophesy. Surely there will be no order in the military, in the police, in banking, in sports, in anything except the servants of God prophesy. Surely can be there every day talking, you know. You know, for every footballer, there are 15,000 commentators. You know that? Why didn't Nigeria get any medal? No, they said they got wood and rubber from the last Olympics. It is because our government is useless. Sports is without form and void. And darkness is upon the surface of the Ministry of Sports and Youth Development. And the Spirit of God is not around and nobody's saying anything. You understand my point? Nobody's incubating, nobody's saying anything. And listen to me. If you ever did chemistry in secondary school, you learn the law of entropy. Things never get better spontaneously. It is a fat lie that evolution is the reason why you are here. Why? Evolution is only time. Things got better spontaneously. That's on paper. What am I saying? If you think that one day Nigeria, somebody was, one guy was analyzing, okay, the brother I was talking to, that one man said, he has concluded, this is a foreigner, because Nigerians are very smart people, all right? He has met Nigerians, they are very intelligent, but he has been to Nigeria, he's a foreigner, and the country is so, you understand, scattered. I couldn't understand, that is, the thing worries me that, look, I remember those days, it was Terry Venables, all right? When Nigeria played England, the days of Amokachi, you know, Rashidi Yekini and co. Terry Venables said, give me six of these boys, I will rule the world. I remember very well. He was a coach of England. That what? When he saw these guys play ball, now, I'm making an issue here. Are you like, what? Give me these guys, I will rule the world. Of course, by the way, the issue that they were playing with so much, the passion, those days of Finidi George, used to play his heart were in his legs. Oh, how many hearts does he have? One. Okay, his heart was in his legs. But I'm looking at the issue. So this guy was like that. He said he has seen Nigerians. What Nigerians can do. But when he came to Nigeria, oh boy, he wanted to run back from the airport. And at the airport, they told him that his one vaccination paper, maybe something not show clearly. You know the way police used to do. Is this S or 5 in your chassis number? And you look the policeman in your mind, but I beat you. But of course, you know they argue because you know where the story is going. He said, it depends on how you want to read it. 200 naira to be S. So that, anyway. So he met something like that at the airport. They had to give somebody $50 so that things will become clearer. Maybe they might go buy glasses. This was an international conference. The man was speaking. He now said something. Now, this is the error. What I want to bring out what he said. He said he decided that a time will come that the way Nigerians are behaving, that they will go down, 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 that they will not reach the bottom. That when they reach the bottom, they will realize that there is only one other place to go, which is up. You see, I said, that's the error. The down is bottomless. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. The down is what? Bottomless. It is bottomless. There's no stopping until there's total annihilation. When God burnt up Sodom and Gomorrah, he said nothing will ever grow there again. People have identified the place. It's the most barren place on the surface of the earth. Pure sulfur is still there till today. Nothing grows. Even bacteria don't grow. So, it is a lie that will go down so much, will not, you know, will not begin to come up. That's what I'm trying to explain. The only way we will turn around, and we don't have to wait till we have reached down. The only way we will turn around is if a positive force is put into the turnaround. I'm not talking on the social aspect now, the economic aspect. I'm talking on the spiritual aspect today. So, spiritually, we have to force the turnaround by the prophets of God engaging themselves in their duties. What's their duty? Prophesying. Remember, in the realm of the spirit is words. That's the sword that is used there. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. And we are builders with God. We see a template in the heavens. All right? And then we begin to declare on the earth what we want it to be. That is according to that template that is in heaven. When Jesus said, pray like this, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. People read it as if thy will be done on earth as it's being done in heaven. That wasn't what he said. He said, thy will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven. Please let me end my message again, all right, with the issue of who the prophets are. Maybe I'll develop that further next time. Is the prophets, all right? It's not just everybody. There are a number of things about the prophets. I'll summarize it, then we'll break it down again further, all right? Next time. One, in summary, there are people that believe. It said, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. We've read that from Psalm 105. It said, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. And we said, who are those people? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the nation of Israel, they were the prophets of God at that time. And at this time, they are the people, all right, they are the new nation of God, the true circumcision. And these are the people that have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are now the people of God, all right? He said, but you are a chosen race. That's verse 9, 1 Peter chapter 2. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Now, if you see the word, a people, or the expression, sorry, a people for God's own possession. In King James, it says, a peculiar people, right? Yeah, that's what it says. I'm using the New American Standard here, and it says, a people for God's own possession. It said, my prophets. Mine. You understand? My prophets. Here it says, a people for God's own possession. It said, you are that people. You are a chosen race, a holy nation. You are a people for God's own possession. What was he saying here? In effect, listen to me. If a country collapses, now let me just end with this. It is not because Boko Haram was fighting. If a country collapses, it is not because everybody there has a problem. If a country collapses, it is because the church in that nation has a problem. You know why? What preserves that place is the people of God's own possession. You understand what I'm saying? You know, let me just say this. I said, let's learn to tackle things from a spiritual perspective. I've had arguments with people again and again when it comes to political matter, Christians and political matter. I'm not talking about Christians in politics now. I'm talking about Christians and political matter. For example, if you watch TBN or any Christian network, you see CBN network. They have this program. They have, I think there's some participation in what they call American Center for Law and Justice, all right? And there's this guy, Jay Sekulow. He's a lawyer. Even I think his son is into it also. But these guys are serious defenders of legally now. They are very involved in legal challenges and stuff like that, trying to keep American moral standards up. And, you know, they defend Christian matters, like, you know, just trying to do the opposite of ACLU. They are ACLJ, all right? ACLU is American Civil Liberties Union, all right? Those guys support everything that is bad. If they say you want to eat your children, they say it's your right. And to them, they are not supporting eating the children. They are supporting the free choice to eat anything you want. You understand what I'm saying? So they always seem to go against Christian standards. You understand? They will be in front of supporting homosexual marriages and all of that. Now, please, I'm not going to an issue here. What ACLJ is doing, is it good? I really think basically it is good. I think it's good. I really think, no, really, I'm persuaded it is good. But listen to this. I taught them what I call the foundations and pillars of financial prosperity. And in it, I distinguish between foundations and pillars. What are pillars? They are things you can see. But the things that really carry the building, they are invisible. That's, they consider the foundation of the building. As a rule, they're invisible. You know why? You dig. You lay the thing in the dog state. You understand what I'm saying? And then you cover back. Then the pillars rise from there and you can see it. So you see, in a nation, they say, okay, these are the things that are spoiling our children. And then ACLU will say, let us spoil them. ACLJ will say, no, let's not spoil them. But you know what God said? Children will always be spoiled as long as the parents are in idolatry. You know, God said to them, he said, your children, your girls have become prostitutes. Harlots, he said, of course, King James. And then your boys are whoremongers. He said, do you know why? He said, because the parents, the fathers themselves, they go after, in some, I'm paraphrasing now, they go after other gods. So they are committing adultery spiritually. And it is manifesting in sexual laxity in their offspring. Are you getting my point? I'm not bringing an issue here. In fact, when the book, all right, is finally out, Worship and Sex Control, I explain those things inside it, all right? Now, I'm not bringing an issue, please. Follow me. Now, I think I've had arguments with people about Christian and the political matters. Like in Nigeria, we have CAN. And CAN will speak up. Should they speak up? Fine. I think it's okay. Like when the issue of Islamic Bank came up, I had some arguments with some people. They said it is bad, it is wrong. I said there's nothing wrong with Islamic banking. If you, it's not number force. The people said they want to register their own bank and go and bank the Islamic way. Eh, you just say, what is your problem? You can fight whether they should use the term Islamic or not. They should call it not, whatever it is. People say, no, this is how it stands. This is how it stands. They have been funded. I said, well, what's your problem? Now, please follow me. I don't believe that's the problem. I don't. The real problem, that's where I'm going. The real problem, somebody say real problem. Let's start with America. The real problem that the Lord has is not the unbelieving homosexual who wants to marry another unbelieving homosexual. No, he has no problem with that. The country is not going to decay. In this, we're talking about New Testament. Because one homosexual married a homosexual. One does not believe in God. The other believes in one guru somewhere. Confused people, marrying confused people of the same sex. You know, is it good? No, I think it's very terrible. It's called abomination, all right? But you know what allows that to happen? It's when the church, the people of God, when a pastor divorces his wife in the morning and marries the head of the choir next Sunday, and everybody say, yes, irreconcilable difference, irreconcilable difference. And let us worship the Lord. We worship you, our God, even though we have new wives And the new ones, the old ones are over there. We still worship you all the same. And they're just singing. The Lord will just look them like this. Said, I'm about to kill somebody. Please, I hope you're following what I'm saying. But the church, they don't realize that. That pastor will come forward and say, homosexuality is against the will of God, and God is going to judge America. And God say, yes, you're right. I'm going to judge America. But not because of what you think. I'm going to judge America because the salt has lost its savour. Do you get my point? Listen to me. For every dose of iniquity in the church, the world is entitled to, this is my own calculation, to 10. They are. I believe very strongly, Nigeria of today, our basic problem is a church problem. It's not PDP. It's not Boko Haram at all. Those are manifestations of darkness. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, when there is darkness, men of darkness thrive. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. When evil people are thriving, it's because darkness is plenty. Do you follow what I'm saying? It is not the evil people that are the primary problem. And I'm not saying that they are not a problem. I'm just saying that for them to thrive, the salt must first lose its savor. It says, you are the light of the world. When the light doesn't shine, the place is dark and evil men thrive. Is it thriving that's the issue? Every time there's always evil and good in the place. The one that thrives depends on the intensity of light. Now, this is what we do, which is what was I heard from that? It's a mistake. We don't say, no, evil people will destroy you. We don't start pursuing evil people all over the place. And we're not making any headway. God said, you don't understand the principle. They thrive in what? In darkness. But you are the light of the world. So if you want them to naturally shrivel, you understand what I'm saying? What do? You shine brighter. You follow what I'm saying? What do? You shine brighter. But we don't do that. No, really. I'm telling you the truth. We don't do that. A lot of things we call ministry is not ministry. You know, I was teaching in them. I told you I went to Onitsha to teach Thursday and Friday. All right? I was teaching Onitsha yesterday. If I told you, I need to write this thing down. Because I was teaching them, I was supposed to speak on harvest and harvesters. I said, listen, Jesus said, when Jesus saw trouble, he saw everywhere scattered, things were upside down. You know what he said? He said, what's the problem? The laborers. Laborers are what? A few. He didn't say the people are wicked. He saw them confused, scattered. He said they were like sheep without shepherd. And he had compassion on them. And he turned to his own disciples and said, you see, the harvest is plenty. But what? The laborers are few. He now said, you should pray that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers into the harvest field. So I was not talking about laborers. I said, it struck me that he didn't say the disciples are few. He said what? The laborers are few. I now began to talk about that laborers. One scripture came to my mind. He said, if I'm lifted up, I will draw all peoples to myself. Something I deduced from that. You don't draw people into Christ by your strength, by your energy, by your ability to preach eloquently, by your forcing them to come to church. They will come to church to get you off their back. They will come to church to find a nice wife. They will come to church to find a nice husband. Coming to church does not mean anything if the man has not believed. Are you getting my point? All right. You don't convert people like that. They get converted by the activity of the Holy Spirit. As Christ is lifted up and is drawing men to himself. Therefore, who are the laborers? They are the people that are actively lifting Christ up in their lives. Not those who wake their neighbors up every morning. Repent. Otherwise, you will go to hell. The man you are telling does not believe hellfire exists. So he's not scared. Please get my perspective. I'm not saying it's wrong to go and preach. But the real laborers are those who in their lives, from there, Christ is shining. Please, let me get back to the point I'm making. In every country, the problem is always with God's prophets. It's never with the unbeliever. They thrive. Evil men thrive when light does not shine. So, if you can't speak up, go ahead and speak up. But those are secondary matters. This is how true repentance was for the Jews. Job said it like this, that Elihu spoke to Job. He said, they cry because of the arm of the mighty. No one says, where is God my maker? When the nation of Israel was pummeled by their enemies, they returned in repentance to God. Go and learn this. We'll talk about it maybe one of these days. We're learning from Moses. We want to go there. Please, in case I forget, somebody remind me, all right? Because God taught Israel a song. Because that was their way out of problems for everlasting, for eternity. He said, anytime it was a song that Moses taught them, they were supposed to learn it so that every generation would know it. And in that song, he explained that every time, he said, how can one chase 1,000 and two chase 10,000? And those 10,000, all right, were the people of Israel. He said, it is because their rock gave them up. So when they had problems, they returned inwards and repented. Do you understand my point? And they're going to listen to my message in which I preach what is wrong with a king. In that message, I explained what was wrong with a king was that they rejected that principle that was entrenched in the song of Moses. They thought the reason they will have security is if they have a strong king. Christians think that what they need for prosperity is a strong government. It's not true. What they need, what the country needs for prosperity today is purity and holiness in the church of Christ. What this nation needs for real prosperity is for the church of God, the prophets, as I'm going to emphasize, to realign their lives and do their duty. If prophets stop being conventional, now, I don't mean pastors, now that's the pastors. I mean every one of God's believers. Of course, that's with the pastors and teachers and people like that who will teach everybody the truth. If they stop being covetous, if they stop putting their eyes on the things of the world and they turn around and begin to prophesy. Listen, Boko Haram leader, while he's recording a video, he will have a heart attack and die. JTF will not even know where he was recording the video from. He will just die. They will have 25 successive attempts at bombing. It will kill them. After a while, they will decide that the bombing does not work. Why? Because some people took up their duties and began to do their duty. Let me just end everything there, all right? Don't forget, you are God's prophet. Did I hear an amen? Amen. That's what you are. This world, this nation, will prosper because of you. He said, you are the light of the world, you are the salt of the earth. The whole country will agree one day and say, oh, guys, let's do it properly. No. It will be because you and I were standing up, like I said briefly, all right? Lifting up Christ Jesus, all right? We are standing up as true laborers, and we are facing out there, and we are declaring. Don't forget to, we are not commentators. Did I hear an amen? Amen? We are constructors. That's a good word. Yes. We are the construction company. You understand what I'm saying? A company of believers. You understand my point? We are the construction companies. And the way by which we construct is what? Through the use of prophetic words. And that is what will bring order into our environment. I've talked plenty today. I hope I bless you. You know, sometimes when I start talking like this, I go talk here. At the end of that, I tell my wife, I hope I made sense there. And she'll say, yeah, you did. I said, are you trying to make me happy? You know, because as my wife now, you don't want me to be boss side. And she said, okay. So, I don't know. I hope I blessed you today. And like Kenneth Hagin always said, I don't know whether I helped you or not, but I shall preach myself happy. All right? The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Can we just bow down our heads and just say, Father, thank you. Thank you for truth. Thank you for light. Thank you for understanding.